Welcome back to the Ryer on YouTube channel, where it is time for No Sleep Teal, a show dedicated to discussion involving the National Football League's Jacksonville Jaguars. Still in the NFL, I think, Ev.
I guess, yeah.
Even after that second half performance in H-Town last Sunday, oof. We've seen a lot, Evan. You and I mean, this team essentially showed up in your birth year.
Yeah.
I've been around, obviously, to see it. Haven't seen much or anything like a 26-point quarter for an opponent to come from behind from 19 down in the fourth quarter and take care of the Jags.
With their backup quarterback.
Well, you got to understand, the backup quarterbacks are just good against the Jags.
I know.
It's not the Jags' fault.
The Jags need, you know, every quarterback the rest of the way to start. Like, every starting quarterback. Like, nothing needs – Kyler Murray's got to get back on the field. When they play the Cardinals, Cam Ward needs to stay upright because, yeah, if the Jags play a backup quarterback, they just can't handle it. They just can't deal with
it. You know, it's a lot to digest.
With the talents of someone like Davis Mills, you know, right. I mean, it's, you know, it's just hard to keep up. But
third and goal from outside the 10, hey, there's only so much you can do against his legs.
Yeah,
you know, because when you think Davis Mills,
he's one of the quickest.
Michael Vick.
Yeah, you know, nimble.
John Manziel comes to mind.
Yeah. So. His agility stat on Madden is like a 99.
I mean, so what do you, there's only so much you can do as a defense, right?
Yeah. No, that was, mind blowingly rough. we've seen him blow leads, you know, this season, previous seasons, different coaches, mm-hmm. different players, but, that's about as bad as I've ever seen in terms of just a complete collapse.
Why can't our backup quarterbacks ever do that? Yeah,
it wasn't, you know, any one guy, you know, Trevor is the talking point right now because Trevor did have a pretty bad game. We can definitely harp on that. I mean, there's a lot to talk about with Trevor specifically, but, defensively just, I really couldn't believe it.
Just like, one stop.
Yeah.
Just one stop in the fourth quarter. That's basically all you needed. And the final drive was especially damning.
Yeah.
93 yards with a backup quarterback. And you've got the lead. You've got the lead and a chance to finish the game and still cannot get it done. So let me ask you this, though. So you think more on the defense for that fourth quarter collapse or the offense? You said all three phases earlier, and even after the Houston score, had an opportunity to go get within field goal range for Cam. You know, you need basically midfield. He's already made a 68. You've seen that. He's made a 70 in the preseason. Yeah. Looks like they're going to be able to do. Would you spare like Parker Washington in your disapproval of that performance? Who are the guys that maybe you wouldn't point to that didn't come through in that game against Houston? Would Parker Washington be on that list at least?
Yeah. But I mean, Parker Washington didn't even have a perfect game. I think if I recall, he does have a drop, but yeah, Parker Washington is kind of the MVP of the game, despite the loss, like definitely a really solid performance from him. You know, that punt return, was electric. I would also say that like, overall, ETN, you know, I thought the running game was fine. You know, I didn't have an issue with really that. Even T-Law was able to get some stuff on the ground going. But, yeah, I mean, really, I can't – there's no one on defense for me that especially gets really a break. Maybe Eric Armstead. He had a pretty solid game. Mm-hmm. There's just not –
where were the edge guys? You know, against these tackles.
That's probably the most damning for the defense is the fact that, you know, this is a offensive line that gives up sacks for free all the time. And Josh Hines-Allen was anonymous. Trayvon Walker, anonymous. Like I don't really get it. I don't know if it's a scheme thing or what, because, you know, Josh Hines-Allen last year had a pretty down year. Maybe it's just, you know, he's going down and it's, you know, we've seen the best of him. But Trayvon Walker is the one that doesn't make as much sense to me. I mean, of course, he's been kind of beat up this year. He's had some injury issues, but he performed well the past 2 years while also missing a game or two here and there. Mm-hmm. So that's probably the biggest issue I have is the fact that the Jaguars pass rush. I mean, when Eric Armstead and Antonio Johnson are your guys getting sacks, that's a problem. Like, it's good that you're getting sacks there, but they're supposed to be auxiliary. That's
they can't, they like can't get there with a
4 and 5 on top of what the edge guys are doing.
4-man pass rush can't get there.
No.
Bottom line, against anybody, it seems like.
Not right
think
now.
About the, you think about the Chargers coming up this week, they're without their top two tackles.
Doesn't matter. Without
both of their starting tackles, Ott and IR. Slater, right?
Yeah. I believe. No.
Yeah. So that would seem like, oh, here we go. We can get some pressure this week. You're not counting on it.
Nope.
With the Jaguars 4-man pass rush, as you said, they bring some pressure and maybe they get there with a dime back or an extra DB like Antonio Johnson. But just a 4-man pass rush, it's not happening. And that's with Eric Armstead, as you said, actually playing pretty well.
Right.
Doing more of what you brought him in to do or what you wanted him to do.
We've been asking former
number one pick,
okay, you know,
and your big ticket item that aren't producing on a down in and down out basis. And that is especially frustrating. What do you do with the back end at this point, Ev, at this defense?
I don't know what you can do. I mean,
you got what
really,
you got.
How do you, what, like, I mean, other than
how's that Greg Newsom trade working out?
God, it's bad, dude. It's, the thing is like, I totally get that, like, sometimes, you know, when you make a trade, there are times where it's like, okay, well, we got to give this guy a few weeks to get going. Well, we're at a few weeks at this point, and there has not been any signs of life.
We haven't found a continent yet that he's really good on. He wasn't good in England, right? Nope. Or in Europe. And he hasn't been especially good in North America.
You know, Jaguars play in Tokyo next year. Maybe he can get something going.
NFL Asia.
Yeah, yeah, that it's coming. I'll do the Tokyo game when they announce that. But I don't know, because really he kind of cooled down after the first few good games. You know, I think the absence of Eric Murray right now, of just having a decent safety. I'm not talking great. I'm just saying decent. The
serviceable.
The fact that you're running Antonio Johnson and Dewey out there as your two safeties is just like rough. You know what? You know who deserves a little bit of credit? Jarian Jones. I thought Jarian Jones actually had a pretty good game. Overall solid. But you just have a bunch of just dudes back there right now. Like, you know, we love, you know, Monterrey Brown. You know, we appreciate what he can provide, you know, as a like depth guy. But again, not a dude that you can run out there every snap and expect to make plays. Like, it's just not, it's not who he is. It's not his talent level. You don't have Travis Hunter, and you're not going to have Travis Hunter.
Oh, by the way, now you don't have Travis Hunter for the rest of the season with the knee procedure performed.
And Jordan Lewis has also cooled down considerably after that really, really hot start.
I just don't think he's an outside corner.
Yeah, that's the biggest issue, is that he can't move outside.
And it's not easy to play that slot corner. You know, it's not a walk in the park. But I think a lot of these teams like to play two tight end personnel because it gets the Jags in their base, which gets Jordan Lewis on the outside and gets a strong side linebacker in the game.
You know what the Chargers are really good at?
Two tight ends.
Yeah.
I mean, so that's Jim Harbaugh. That's right up his alley. Always has been. He likes
the thing is they might not even have
go three
Gadsden,
or four tight ends.
The second.
Or Rondé Gadsden, the second's got an injury, right?
Yeah. And the thing is like he's been electric this year. It's kind of been a revelation for the Chargers, but like the Tucker Fisk, Tyler Conklin, Will Disley, those are three dudes that they put out there all the time. All those dudes get snaps, and they're going to get a lot of snaps this weekend based on what we've seen. Unless Harbaugh just kind of, overthinks it or something.
Well, and the Chargers are down, or have been down, to a third running back at this point, right?
They have three running backs on IR. Vidal is definitely their third string guy, but no Amarion Hampton. No Hassan Haskins, no Najee Harris.
Problem.
And the thing is that Kamani Vidal loves running hard. He wants to smoke.
I dare you.
And I am worried about the fact that, you know, don't get me wrong, you know, when he hits that second level, if it's Devin Lloyd's there, then, yeah, we might be all right. But if there's anybody else trying to make that tackle, I'm not betting on them.
Ventrell stick his nose in there. He will do that. Ventrell Miller, he doesn't turn it down, but can he or Foye get there on a consistent basis? I think in the run game they can be okay. It's the other stuff that you outline with tight ends, and then you know, Keenan Allen, Ladd McConkey, even in two wide receiver sets can have big games. McConkey coming off a really big game against the Steelers last week.
Kind of his like return to form game, because he, you know, he's had a solid season, but hasn't necessarily, you know, broken out quite like maybe some people anticipated. But the Chargers have a lot of different dudes that they try to feed the ball. And also we talk about Davis Mills's legs. Justin Herbert's been running more than he's ever ran, and that might be a massive issue this weekend too.
And he doesn't mind it.
Like, yeah, he's happy.
Whatever you think of Justin Herbert, that dude down in, down out is all about the W's.
Yeah.
And it may not always. He is an elevated. I've always said Jackson Dart is kind of a not Costco or Dollar General Justin Herbert, because I think Jackson Dart has some true abilities, but he's that way. And that's why Jackson Dart's been in the blue tent four times this season, because he hasn't learned or won't learn that you can't take on the smoke every time in this league. But yeah, I mean, when you think of Herbert, there's been a lot of parallels drawn, a lot of association between Herbert and Lawrence, right?
Yeah.
As we talk about the quarterback position and how that has sort of played out. Boy, and when you look at, you know, I was thinking of this today. The Trevor Lawrence draft, where he went number one overall in 2021 to the Jaguars, that was a rough quarterback draft right now when you look at it, because you had Trevor 1, Zach Wilson 2,
woof,
Trey Lance 3. That was your top three picks in 2021.
The Trey Lance pick will never get.
And then you had Justin Fields at 11. And, hey, look, Mac Jones at 15 to New England. That looks better now, doesn't it?
It looks a lot better now. But that's the thing, though, is that, like, in retrospect, I guess the only thing you can kind of give the Jaguars a pass on is it's not like, wow, I can't believe the Jaguars are such idiots for drafting.
They didn't keep Mac Jones, or they didn't keep Mac Jones, you know?
Yeah, I mean, imagine if they gone Zach. I mean, Zach Wilson, at least the one, maybe the one thing, if they had drafted any of those other dudes, they would have a new quarterback by now. And maybe they would be a better team than what they
Trevor
are.
Trevor looks good compared to those guys. That's kind of the point.
Good enough to get a $50 million a year extension.
I mean,
and now we're living with it. So, but now it is rough when you look back at it, which is hilarious. Cause at the time, I mean, that was when all Slammed those up. Dudes were coming out. I was like, God, who do you pick?
Right.
Like, these are all, you know, going to be stars. And then here we are, you know, almost 5 years later. And it's no, we don't, there's not a single star in that quarterback first round.
Jags with the next three games, still 5-4. What about this potential rebound? We talked about the wrecked aspect of this team after that just abhorrent fourth quarter performance last Saturday in Texas, last Sunday in Texas. What about the potential for a rebound? I mean, it's going to be tough this weekend, even at home this Sunday against a Chargers team, even without their starting offensive tackles and beat up in some other areas, because they will kick your ass on defense. First and foremost, they will get after your quarterback. They already believe they're much more physical than the Jags, which despite all of the proclamations and everything else before the season, this team is not that. But the schedule, I mean, it's Chargers, right? It's Cardinals and Titans, you're 5-4. Even if you go 2-1, if you go 3-0, I mean, you're at 8-4. But even if you go 2-1 with Jacoby Brissett now as a quarterback for Arizona, you're 7-5 after 12. I mean, it's been amazing. I've never heard the narrative like it's been since Sunday for this team. I mean, just over. Season's over.
Yeah.
And they're 5-4. And they're sitting right now, what? Jags are 7th seed in the playoffs, I think, if it started today.
Yeah, they are still in the actual spot. They're not in the hunt, so to speak.
Right.
It just feels really bad. I think it's as simple as that. Like, In a way, when we talk about like, the past couple seasons where, the back-breaking games that like kind of ended the season prematurely, quote unquote, last year or whatever, with the Dolphins. I know that was week one, but it's kind of like, oh shit, rough. Like they never psychologically got over it. And that's what I'm worried about with this team. But granted, we've, seen Cohen kind of figure out ways to win after tough losses.
Bounce back after Cincinnati, right?
Bounce back that was after, a tough one. After the Rams decimated them in London. And they could do that here, but it's just tough because like, even if you go 2-1 in this spot, the fact that you go Colts twice and Broncos in the last five, like that's the biggest issue is that like it's not a big issue that you got beat by the Seahawks. It's not a big issue that you got decimated by the Rams. It's the fact that you blew a game against the most beatable Texans team you've probably seen in years. Mm-hmm. And that you blew a game against the Bengals.
Yeah.
With Jake Browning. Like if you can just get one of those, then we're 6-3 and it really doesn't matter. Even if you blew it against the Texans, you'd be like, God, that's terrible. But whatever. We're 6-3, 5-4. You see the 500 marker, you're like, shoot, we're no longer above 500 if we lose this week. So I don't know. I don't think the season's over. I'm not like willing to put a fork in it right away, but the vibes between Travis Hunter being out and the way you lost the game, it's not just the fact that you lost, but the way you lost it.
Right.
The vibes are
couldn't
just
get a first crazy. Down in the fourth quarter. Couldn't get a stop in the fourth
well,
quarter.
And I don't want to be whatever, but the way that Cohen and Trevor talked after this game in that press conference also didn't make me feel very good. Like I didn't feel a whole lot of fire, right. Like I didn't feel a lot of juice.
Do you sense a sense of resignation from Cohen already where Trevor is concerned? Are you picking that up?
Yeah. I mean, he continues to, kind of do the coach speak whenever he talks about Trevor. It's it's not inspiring. So, it could feel like resignation, but I mean, he hasn't said anything that's like, well, that makes me think, oh, he's like done with Trevor. Because I think he knows that at the end of the day, over this year and next year with Trevor Lawrence, he's going to have to go to the playoffs once.
Yeah.
They got to go to the playoffs once. Like, and that's your quarterback. You can't get out of it.
I don't think Cohen has to go to the playoffs the next 2 years.
Really?
I've said this all along. I think Cohen and this new regime has this year and next year to do whatever they can do with Trevor. And if it doesn't lead to a playoff win or just a playoff appearance, then it's, well, we did what we could with your guy.
Yeah.
He's not our guy.
Right.
We didn't, you took the job.
Yeah.
So he is kind of your guy, but you know what I'm talking about in terms of how that's going to be positioned.
Yeah. I mean, even if they go, I guess that's a fair point. Because, let's say they go 9-8 this year, miss the playoffs, and then next year they do something similar. It's like, well, guys, we're winning the games, but the quarterback's just.
But he can't get us over the hump. We need to be able to go get our quarterback. That's what I think. That's what I think is going to happen.
It's like, I'm just wondering in that situation.
Because Shad doesn't fire people either.
Yeah, he doesn't.
Baselli
being so tight with that group.
Well, if it goes bad, he'll be reassigned to a special assistant or something. Right. Tony's going to be a Jag for as long as Tony wants to be a Jag.
Yeah.
Now, the other guys, maybe not so much, but it's still, I still think there's a big picture in front of this regime. I don't think it has to happen this year or next year, especially if it doesn't involve Trevor taking his game to another level. I really believe that they'll have an opportunity. They'll be afforded an opportunity to get their quarterback.
Maybe that's what, people that are feeling like me, other Jags fans, maybe we should all just zoom out and just kind of remember that, that while right now it's very painful, the fact is that this is still very much like a new process, a new era. It's not quite a rebuild, but in some ways.
Does Cohen to you look like he's lost 30 pounds in the last 3 weeks?
I mean, he looks like he hasn't slept.
He looks like he hadn't ate or slept.
Yeah. Which, if that's because he's fully grinding and stuff, that's awesome.
He's hammering the Red Bulls. Yeah. But he needs to mix in some Larrys and or Bonos.
Yeah.
Every once in a while. Cause I was like taken aback.
Yeah, no, he looks bad right now. I've got sources that are saying that he's at the Ritz every night at Jack's Beach.
No, really? Oh wow. Damn, I thought we had something here on the show. I think it's kicking his ass.
Yeah, right, I think so too. And I mean, but that's the thing though, is like, you like seeing a guy that is like fully bought it. Like there's no, like with Doug Peterson last year, you could see him checked out. Like you could see that he didn't give a shit. Like it's you with Urban Meyer, you could see he didn't give a shit. But yeah.
Good try, guys. Good try.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, what do we want for your,
you know, ball this one up, throw it in the garbage, and we'll see you on Wednesday.
We'll try again tomorrow. But team on three. No, I mean, so team you like three. That, but also it's Cohen's first time being a head coach. Yep. So you just wonder is it more than it maybe he bargained for? I guess.
Well, the things you heard from people about Cohen was that it could eat him up.
Yeah.
He could care too much. We'll see. It's certainly been an up and down affair. What about Travis Hunter in terms of prioritizing the bad news in the last week or so? I mean, you kind of sense that this was a possible outcome from his injury.
For sure.
But with it kind of falling in line with that performance in Houston, does that even ramp it up for you, or at this point, does it matter?
I mean, it doesn't feel like it matters all that much. Like, don't get me wrong. Obviously, he has his like first really good game. And then of course the injury happens and we don't get to see any more of him. Who knows? Maybe Travis Hunter makes the Jags, you know, he creates another scoring opportunity, or he gets a pick, you know, on one of those last drives. Definitely could have played a factor, but that's so far away from my mind at this point. Like, I'm not thinking about what Travis Hunter can do for this team at this moment, because honestly, other than the Rams game, we were doing a lot of just like, well, we've got to let him get used to this.
Right.
We got to get him up to speed. He only really had the one game that it felt like, oh, he's seeing it correctly.
Did Baselli and Gladstone set him up for failure though? Now, this is understanding. This is an injury situation. This is an ineffective play. But in terms of the expectations, even before the injury, with him being committed to being a two-way player, and do you think this injury gives them a bit of an out when he comes back? Look, we're just going to have him focus on defense or offense. How do you see that maybe playing out from that perspective? They have the out now, I think, with the injury.
Yeah, for sure. They can definitely bail if they want to, but it's also, I think something to really consider here is, does Travis want to? We don't know what Travis Hunter wants to do. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's not something
he said
I'm happy to play two ways. Like, I want to whatever. He hasn't said like, you know, well, I prefer the offensive side of the ball, or I prefer the defensive side of the ball, or what have you. He's just said, I just want to be out there.
And maybe that's what he wants to do. Career longevity probably has to come to mind for him right now.
Right.
After this injury in his rookie season, what's going to keep me in the league? Right. How am I going to get to that next contract where I can really maximize my value?
Yeah. And I mean, honestly, I think that's receiver. If it comes down to push and shove.
Yeah.
Granted, the Jaguars need a receiver and a corner in the worst way. So it could be either side. I think they have the out if they want it. I would be surprised if they pulled that going into year two, though. I just feel like you still have.
They're committed to the bit.
You did this whole thing. You talked it up all offseason.
You made the trade for a two-way player. You're like,
this guy can do it all. So I think you still have to see if he can do that. And then we kind of reassess at the end of year two. If it gets to the end of year two and it's not really panning out in a big way on either side of the football, then I think for sure you probably go ahead and move on. And you know what? Even if it may not even matter. If he breaks out on the offensive side of the ball, and you probably just commit to it. Like,
because
like
this depends on
longevity.
Brian Thomas Jr., what does he do from this point forward?
Right.
What do they ultimately feel like they want to do with maybe Parker Washington down the road on a much lesser scale? In other words, how things play out in that receiver room. But to your point earlier, They absolutely need more help in the defensive backfield. I wanted to ask you, too, in relation to Travis Hunter, there seems to be some belief that, well, the two-way thing is how he got hurt. But it doesn't sound like the injury was – that we were seven games into the season. So yeah. Overusage, to me, wasn't a part of it. It sounds like it was a non-contact injury in practice.
Yeah, it's bad luck.
He could have done it as a one-way player, two-way player, no-way player.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's it happens, you know. I mean, it does. Like, there's plenty of guys that suffered this kind of situation, you know, whether it's a Achilles or ACL tear, just trying to run a route, just, you know, made a slight movement left or right, and that thing can just pop sometimes.
Yeah.
So no, I don't think it has anything to do with overusage. I mean, shoot, like, I think in that sense, the Jaguars, you know, the staff deserve a lot of credit. I don't feel like they've ever, I feel like overall the Jaguars have put him in a spot to succeed. I actually don't have any qualms with that. You know, people are like, oh, well, they kind of screwed him or whatever by doing the way that they're utilizing him, yada, yada. I'm like, no, like, he's playing only a little bit more snaps than your average starting player in the NFL. And, you know, it's not like they've been asking him really to do all that much in, like, you know, potentially dangerous situations. You know, you think about that catch that he had against the Chiefs, you know, where he goes up and falls down and all that different stuff. It's like that was as much of a chance to suffer something like that as anything. Sometimes you just get unlucky, and that's how I'm leaving it for now until we got evidence that says otherwise.
So confidence level heading into the Chargers on Sunday. It was just a couple of years ago in that very stadium against this very team. One of the most glorious nights in franchise history. Feels like it's full circle the other way right now after last Sunday. But what do you think? You think the Jags, you expecting a competitive performance? I'm more tuned in with the psyche of this team, starting with the head coach.
Yeah.
And how it seems anyway, the messaging and the recovery went throughout this week. I'm more interested in that. Obviously, the final score is all that matters. But if I see a Jags team that looks like it is competing at a very high level against a good team, even in a close loss, and I know no moral victories, I'm not saying that, but I'm just more interested to see if they come out and get kind of rolled or if they at least give us 60 minutes of legitimate engagement, effort, toughness, all those things after the events of last week.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to, like, be over by half or something like that. But
I don't either.
I'm seeing, like, in my mind's eye, like a 2-score win for the Chargers, like a 10-point win. You know, probably close in, you know, you get in the fourth quarter, it might be tied, or it might be, you know, you're down like 7 or 3 and the Chargers just add that little bit to tack it off. I don't trust Trevor to go pound for pound with Justin Herbert in this game. I'm worried about the Chargers rushing attack in this game as well.
Even with Kamani Budol
might have a really big one. The one thing I will say, the Achilles heel for the Chargers this year has been turnovers. They have turned the ball over a lot. That's the only reason why they're not better off than they are. Cause you know, you look at this team, you're like, damn, like, I mean, they're 7-3, but they kind of blew some games this year. They could be like 8-2 or 9-1.
Yeah.
And it's because of turnovers. If the Jaguars defense can get back to being feast or famine, you can let up 24 points, but if you can turn the ball over 2 or 3 times, you'll have a shot to win this game. And that, I think that's like what's going to have to happen. The Jaguars have to go plus in the turnover battle.
I think it's going to be kind of like the Packers and the Eagles on Monday night, not in terms of the kind of game. I don't think it's going to be 13-10 or anything like that, or 10-7. But the Packers, after losing at home to the Panthers, they were told all week how much they suck.
And they
still didn't beat the Eagles. But, yeah, I mean, they looked more at least like what you would have expected the Packers to look like, instead of the product they put out there against the Panthers a week early. I think it'll be the same way. I think the Jags will be right there. I think they'll have opportunities, but it's impossible for me to pick the Jags in this game. So I'm going to go Chargers 20-17, I'm going to go. Some type of game like that. 20-17 type of game, F.
I was actually about to pick something pretty similar. I'm going to say 27-17. That's the 10-point win I see for the Chargers.
Two scores.
Yeah. You know, I mean, the Jags can – if the Jags can just get out early, if they can just get a score, if they can get the offense, like, kind of rolling early, then, yeah, I mean, I'll feel a lot better about this. But I just think that the Chargers are going to – like, we talk about the physicality. They're going to establish that early.
Game where you could really use Brenton Strange, right?
Yeah, and you don't
– Every game you could use Brenton Strange, but especially against this team.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. You know, with Brenton Strange, that feels so big in a game like this, not having a guy like that. And really, it's felt big every week not having him.
Jags have opened the window for his return, right?
Yeah, he's got 20 days, I guess, or 21 days. But yeah, I don't know. I just don't see an area in which the Jaguars are better than the Chargers right now, to be honest. And I don't know how it adds up to a win, but who knows? Maybe I'm just I'm the Debbie Downer right now.
Still in the dumps. We tried to, you know, give it a couple days. You know, we let all the screamers, and ranters.
Yeah.
You know, on YouTube and other
haters
places.
And losers.
We let them scream. We let them scream and rant. No, guys, just wait till you see how mad I am about the Jags.
I'm the most mad.
Yeah, I'm the most mad champ. But we tried to take a little more level-headed approach. So there you go. Evan, anything else before we get out of here?
No, just Bama's winning. That's all you need to worry about right there. So got Oklahoma this weekend. Get excited, y'all.
On that ass.
Yeah.
You got
you win this one, right? I mean, you win against Oklahoma.
It's weird, though. If you beat Oklahoma but you lose to Auburn and you want to go to Atlanta and lose – Are then, you still in the playoffs? I didn't mean to traumatize you like that, but that's a scenario I've been thinking of. You would think, in terms of quality wins, if Alabama beats Oklahoma this week, they're in. I mean, look at the wins.
Yeah, they're locked.
They're locked.
Maybe not. Maybe not.
It could get crazy with that.
Now, I am excited to watch these next 3 weeks because there's so much that can happen in college football. It'll be awesome. But.
Yep. It'll be a lot of fun. Hey, Ev, enjoyed it, my man. We'll do it again soon.
Sounds good.
All right. For Evan Ryer, I'm Travis Ryer. Thanking you for joining us right here on No Sleep Till on the Ryer on YouTube channel. If you'd hit that like button, we would appreciate that. Subscribe to Ryer on YouTube. Turn on those notifications. That way you're alerted to all of our content as it drops. As a matter of fact, later tonight on Ryer on YouTube, we will be live with Brent Beard for Second Helping, our SEC show here on the channel. And we'll follow that up with Talking Tide with Chase Goodbread of the Tuscaloosa News. We'll do Talking Tide. It's a triple header
Busy hump day.
How about that right here on Ryer on YouTube? Thanks for joining us. Until next time, so long, everybody.